Okay, I hope you're still awake, and I'm sorry I will have to rush through my presentation. I hope that I can give you and deliver you the main message. So when we talk about a space for sustainable developments, we've been hearing about Earth observations and Galileo mainly. Those are the two big flagships, I would say, that are being considered by the European Commission, for example, on that subject. But one main area which we have been talking about, and we heard a lot today still, is satellite communication. So why doesn't it appear on my screen? Sorry. If we talk about the SDGs and their sustainable development goals, they need to satisfy the basic needs, which are connecting, you know, each other with your loved ones, access quality healthcare, access quality education, or elect, you know, your public officials in a democratic way, or access to goods and services. Okay, arrow keys, I guess. Yes. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, does the VSAT, you know, meet all those requirements? And does it link, does the link with the satellite telecommunications deliver that value? We can see satellites as an enabler and an accelerator tool for development. And I think I'd like you to really consider this as a reality. But it is not just enough to have the capacity, as we mentioned, you know, have the technology is really very interesting. But if you don't have the applications which go with the satellite capacity or with the space, you know, satellite, like Jean-François was saying, the services are really making the difference. This is the connectivity. And like Edouard said, it should be seamless. You know, the user shouldn't know whether it comes from satellites or whether it comes from another place. And this is what we would like to become, you know, is actually integrated into as an enabler into the sustainable goals. Now, I come with other figures, figures are what they are, but this is, coming from McKinsey, which has made an analysis for 2015, it could be better today, but at the time, there was only 16% internet penetration in Africa. With 167 million internet users. More than 400 million were beyond any fiber reach, you know, in Africa. So more than 50% of urban residents are online. Forget about the rural areas. So if we think about 2025, I could put the figures to 2030, which is the next objective of Sustainable Development Goals, we would look at least 50% of penetration of in Africa, which is not too much, isn't it? Considering that we have a demographic also development in Africa, we could possibly connect 600 million internet users. This is the study of McKinsey who is doing this based on existing technologies. With 360 million smartphones, we still are not going to be there. So that's how Africa looks today, right? It's not fully complete because there are some backbones, fiber links inside the countries, but mainly the fiber bones is along the coast. And you can imagine that 50 kilometers inside the country, you have this fiber connectivity. But beyond that, there is nothing, right? Nothing or very slow development. What do you do with this vast continent, which is really equal to the five other continents? So it's absolutely not what you see on the picture, what it is in reality. The distances are huge. There is no infrastructure, no road, no transport. How do you bring this connectivity? I think you now have the answer. You know it's because of thanks to space. So this is one example of what we've been doing in Niger. We've been equipping, you know, villages with antennas. You see the antenna dish on the corner on the left side, and then you see the solar panel. Because of course, the next big challenge next to connectivity is energy and electricity. And so each time we deploy satellite dishes, we deploy solar panel with that. So I took five examples very quickly. We'll go through it just to let you give you an idea of what we do in Africa. So we've been active in e-finance. So this is a huge problem. You know, how do you pay the people in rural areas? So we have to create ATMs. How do you create ATMs when you have no road to bring the money from one point to the other? Well, you do it electronically, of course. And how do you do it electronically? You need connectivity. That's what we're doing to, you know, offering services to bank offices and ATMs. In the health sector, we are providing connectivity for the doctors, for the nurses, in order for them to get access to information, important information for example, maternity issue and for mothers. E-learning educations, we talked about SOS for the children just this morning. How do we educate all the people? Well, you know, we've made rough calculations that we would need to have about, you know, it's about 4 million teachers missing already today to teach all the populations of Africa. How can you train 4 million teachers, you know, in a year? Well, give me an answer. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to do this, but, I mean, as I said, connectivity can be an accelerator of that. A teacher can teach all the teachers of a country in 1 hour, right, or 2 hours, or 1 week, or a year. Elections, I will explain this later, and then disaster response, I think that was clear that satellite could be, you know, and is the only mean when you have a disaster to recover telecommunications. This is an example of what we have been equipping, you know, in Cameroon, and we've been deploying this type of solutions also in Kenya. E-health, we have developed a platform which is called SatMed. And SatMed is an open platform. It's important because we talked about openness, right? So the more we are open, the more actually the different NGOs can come, share the data, and make this, you know, profit or others. So SatMed is a platform when NGOs have, you know, put their informations like Cure, like, you know, all the different NGOs in health, and give this as a disposal to all the different, you know, doctors and nurses in the different countries. Based on that, they can openly, like in a cloud, look for information, exchange information, and be aware of what they have to do, you know, in certain cases. So, for example, we've been equipping 3 maternities in Benin. You could say, well, maternities can exchange easily information. No, you have a lot of floods, you have roads which are not accessible, and this is the best way to follow one patient from one maternity to the other is to connect them via satellite. I will not go into details, as I said, I have to rush to my presentation. So let's go to e-learning. So we've been developing for Jordan camps. We were talking about refugee camps. There are thousands of children and also women and other and young boys that need to be educated. How do you do this? Well, we've developed a connected solar school. You see it you know, on the top. Was a German company, all equipped with solar panels and satellite connectivity. You put this in a camp, and then you can start, educate, and give courses to those people. Another example is what we've done in South Africa. South Africa, although well-developed, I have to admit, there are some regions like the Zululand, for example, where you don't have access to higher-level educations, and we have been equipping to start with 100 schools with the support of ESA, and we are discussing now moving to 5,000 schools, bringing this education using satellite. Burkina Faso is a very interesting example. Burkina Faso is the country where we have been starting really to invest a huge amount of time with the governments to understand what they want, what they need, and how to move, you know, along their needs. And one of the biggest needs they had was transparency while they were, you know, organizing the elections. And you know, there has been elections, presidential elections in November 2015, and we've been actually equipping about 400 sites around the country where the electors, you know, were coming, you know, for their votes. And we collected all the information in less than a day so that the president could be announced, you know, almost immediately the results could be actually announced. Many, many things to say about that. It's a fantastic experience. We've been working with local partners. We've been developing, you know, and deploying those 400 sites in less than 6 weeks. It is not possible in Europe, right? It is possible in Africa. Those people learn quickly, you know, are willing to go, and this is a new business that we have created for them in Africa, or with them, I would say, because they learned a lot. We learned a lot from them as well. Disaster response SES, together with the Luxembourg government, has been developing an inflatable antenna that you see there, which can be very quickly, you know, deployed. It's in two or three boxes that you can really bring very quickly on a plane, bring to the place, and deploy in less than 3 hours. It restores communication, and we have, you know, we have global communication, so it can be deployed anywhere, anytime. Two words about O3b networks. We bought a new constellation of satellites, which is medium Earth orbit, so it's lower positioning, more satellites actually going around the constellation of satellites. I won't go into details into the technical part. Just note that you have full-time connectivity, like a GEO. We can provide higher throughput. We could go up to 1.6 gigabit per second, so we can really say we're offering fiber in the sky capacity. Then we have lower latency. We are a little bit lower than geostationary, 150 milliseconds, which is important for the cloud-based application. We are 30% more affordable than geostationary satellites. We have stereo beams that can be put, you know, to the north, and you see the coverage in brown. This is where our satellites are offering and delivering services. This is all the customers we have. I won't go into this, but you see there's some in Africa. And maybe one key applications we have developed for the UN peacekeeping mission. In Central Africa, you know, there's been some turmoil there. And so we're delivering communications via O3b to the mission, I mean, the people who are in mission there. In conclusion, we could say that, I mean, a company like SES, although a private company, is fully committed just to work with the governments, the public entities, to deploy those services. When we say public, you know, when we say committed, we need, of course, to have this public support. And public support could be in the format of creating the curricula if we're talking about education, facilitating the access to the school, et cetera, many different ways of public-private partnership can be built. There is still existing legal and regulatory uncertainty in Africa, and I think that is very, very important to mention that in your report, Jean-Jacques, because this is something that needs to change. An example, Burkina Faso is asking actually 3 times the price of a terminal, 200 euro, let's say, they ask for the fees, you know, for the license fees and the custom fees, you triple the price of the equipment, okay, which is actually, why is Africa more expensive than Europe? Because you have much more taxes, and this has to change, and particularly, we're asking exemption, total exemption of those fees for, you know, public goods. When it comes to education, health, social goods, it has to be improved. Market access issues is also an obstacle. Sometimes the countries require a hub on their territory. When we have hubs everywhere, and this, you know, this is a cost to the country that is not needed, really. Okay, so, and finally, I would say any program for space for sustainable development should include satellite telecommunication. I think that's clear. I'm repeating it because this is not what is written in the SDGs today. This is not the intention of the World Bank. This is not the intention of the European Commission. And it should be a definitive, priority for them to have connectivity inside the plan. It's not the whole story. There are many other things to be done, but this should be a priority. Thank you very much for your attention.